Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Depending on our situation in this fallen world, and with all the difficulties that we may have to endure, it may sound like a platitude for someone to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Like you're trying to get us to be quiet and they're finishing the conversation and sending us away. Well, rejoice in the Lord always. Or it may sound terribly disconnected from the experience that we have as we're trying to live this life, proclaiming Christ and walking the way of the cross, that somebody might say, rejoice. You know, if we just heard that as an imperative, rejoice with an exclamation mark, you know, like you might see some kitschy art at Walmart or Home Goods or something that has, you know, rejoice. That may be pretty incongruent with the way we're experiencing our life right now. But we find there's a deep mystery hidden in the exclamation that we hear from St. Paul when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It is that we would rejoice in the Lord. And this is no pious platitude coming from St. Paul. He wrote that letter in jail, where he was facing potential capital punishment. And, you know, that kind of hardship shows that he had internalized the teaching of our Lord Jesus, who said to the apostles on the day that he was arrested, and the day before he was crucified, in this world you shall have tribulation. In this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So St. Paul has internalized that. He is living it out in real time when he can write to encourage others, even though his situation is very dark indeed. He can encourage others and encourage us today with that phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. So this is helpful to us in our own circumstance. Now in this fallen world, we may have our eyes on the ground, and it's hard to remember to lift them up to heaven. So on the ground, we can find a lot of injustice in this world. And it's pretty overwhelming, especially in the information age. We can find a lot of ways that the people are oppressing, the evildoers are oppressing through their wickedness other people. And this may bring us into a real place of despair if we don't go to God with it, if we don't rejoice in the Lord. I remember speaking to one who was an incredible warrior for justice, a woman in our parish, St. Nicholas, who helped establish the National Right to Life organization at the national level and at the Arizona level back in the 70s before Roe v. Wade. And her efforts, Dr. Carolyn Gerster, were so, she poured herself out so much for that cause that at one point her husband had to say, what about our family? You know, there is this, it's easy for us to get caught up in the cause and to forget that charity begins at home, love begins at home, and perhaps to forget the joys that do surround us as perhaps we're beleaguered in our own fight for what is right. And so we have a chance to rest in this grace that is given to us today, that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Though we see many forms of oppression and injustice in this world, yet we know that God is a just God, and that he will bring justice rolling down like rivers and like a mighty stream. He is the God whom we worship that will come to judge the world and the peoples with his truth. And we can rest in that and trust in that. So in our own weariness, if we're fighting for what is right, in our own weariness, let us rest in that grace given to rejoice in the Lord. In him there is no injustice and there is no darkness. In the same way, we might be a bit fatigued by seeing the sickness that surrounds us. And this has been quite a time of obsession upon COVID-19 and all the details. We're all of us becoming semi-experts in viral transmission and perhaps have read one too many reports of what the virus can do to somebody. Well, that's, a certain vision that we have, but it's only showing us so much of reality. It's only showing us some transitory things and temporary things. We have the ability now through Christ to see those things which are eternal. And Christ demonstrated by his power that he has authority over disease. And when Christ came among us, he demonstrated that healing power to the 10 lepers, one of whom returned to give thanks. Leprosy didn't infect our Lord Jesus. He banished leprosy and cleansed them of the leprosy. We see it in the virtue that came from him to the woman who had an issue of blood. She was healed. The very first miracle of Christ, to heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. Anyone that Christ came to that had any kind of sickness, they didn't leave still sick. They left whole. And here is the gift that is given to us that we know by faith that eternal life has been given to us in Christ, and we await the glory of the coming age where in heaven there is no sickness. There is no infirmity of body. Mortality has been banished, and the strength will be restored in the glorified state. And so we can rest in that. Yes, we are, around us we see a lot of sickness, and maybe we're, you know, kind of obsessing on that too much, but let's not stop there. Let's look higher and rejoice in the Lord, for he is bringing us to a place where there is a new heavens and a new earth, where there is no sickness. Now we know that sin has its consequence, and the consequence is death. And each one of us is plagued and stricken with mortality. But Christ has come to defang our foe, and he has broken the power of death. So even though around me I may see death, yet in Christ I can see life. A life that is indestructible. A life that now dwells in you by faith. And that same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is in you now and will quicken your mortal bodies. So hallelujah, we can rest in that if we are any way discouraged or falling into any kind of despair because of our great foe of death, to know that it has been crushed by the infant Christ who in due time, as warrior king, would deal it a mortal blow. And so we rest in that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, oftentimes in my own life, I feel like I'm at a campfire. You know, there's a big pot of stew that I will nourish me if I just reach far enough, get it. But I'm not reaching far enough. Instead of a ladle full of stew, I'm taking spoonfuls of ash. And I'm not nourishing myself with the truth that is ours. And so it is a call that we would come to God and rest in him and let him nourish and strengthen us as we press on through this earthly pilgrimage. One of the primary ways we do that is to gather at the Holy Communion, where the celebrant says, "Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord God. It is meet and right so to do." This is one way that we rejoice in the Lord, no matter what is happening this last week, or whatever trials that we're in the middle of. This is that respite, this is that peace that God has established for us, that we might have a foretaste of heaven and rest in what God has won for us. And so today, may we come to this altar in our courtyard chapel, or I'll come to you with the sacrament, and may we also make our spiritual communion if we're not able to partake of the communion today, and rest in Christ, and may we rejoice in the Lord and be comforted by his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.